Acts chapter number 11, that comes right after chapter 10. In case anybody was wanting to know. All right. Now, let me recap because it's been, last week we had harvest or the bonfire and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Acts chapter number 10. And Acts chapter number 10, where Peter went to see Cornelius. Peter is a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. They don't associate with each other. They don't go eat with each other. So God, in chapter number 10, sends down the sheet with all the unclean animals in it. You remember? Came down three times. And God says, Peter, kill and eat. He says, not me. I've never tasted anything unclean, because Peter in Acts chapter number 10 is still living under Old Testament law. He don't know any better. He don't know to do anything different. Now where we are in this present age, we understand those dietary laws are not for us. First Thessalonians chapter number 5. It says, if it be received with thanksgiving, then you can eat it. And that's why we pray over food and things like that. But back then, Peter didn't understand in Acts chapter 10. So God's showing him all of this. And then he goes to Cornelius' house, bunch of Gentiles. He preaches the word. While he's preaching, the Holy Spirit comes down and comes up on the Gentiles, just like the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles in Acts chapter number 2, Jews. So the Holy Spirit comes on Jews here, and then he comes on the Gentiles here. Peter gets to witness it, and he's like, man, something. I perceive that God is no longer a respecter of persons. There's something going on, something different. Now he's telling me to eat unclean animals, and now all this kind of stuff. So that was a basic synopsis of chapter number 10. Y'all remember I told you, Peter and Paul, Peter the first part of the book of Acts, Paul the latter part. I looked up something this afternoon, and I thought it was interesting. I'm going to show you, because I've always said this. Ephesians 3, watch this. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul was the minister. Even though Paul was a Jew, God saved him and made him a minister to the Gentiles. Proof verse. All right. Then Galatians chapter 2. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised as Gentiles, uncircumcised was committed unto me. Who wrote Galatians? Paul. So the gospel, the good news of the Gentiles was committed unto Paul, as the gospel, the good news of the circumcision, Jews, was unto Peter. All right. Well, now, if you are not convinced all the way yet, here's another one. Paul wrote Romans 15, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and so on and so forth. Peter, the minister to the Jews. Paul, minister to the Gentiles. Watch this. I've told you this, and I know it's repetitive, but there's people that hadn't got this yet. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about people that watch and all that kind of stuff. Jewish. And all of a sudden, that thing starts dwindling down, Jewish, and it becomes more Gentile, Jew and Gentile, one body, all of that. Now watch. I looked this up. From Acts 1 to Acts 15. From Acts chapter 1 to Acts 15, right there. Peter's name is mentioned 56 times. 56 times. Peter is the minister to the Jews. Okay? All right. 15 chapters, Peter's name is mentioned 56 times. From Acts 7, now Paul gets saved in 9. You say, why is Paul's name mentioned in 7? Remember the stoning of Stephen? Paul was there as the first time Paul's name, actually Saul, his name was mentioned. From 7 all the way to 28. 156 times. From 7 to 28. You will not find Peter's name mentioned after chapter 15. He's gone. Now, what I'm trying to show you is Peter was the minister to the Jews at Acts 2:38. Repent, be baptized, everyone. You miss your sin, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everybody wants to go to Acts 2 to get their salvation. Everybody wants to go to Acts over here, Acts 7 to get their salvation, or Acts 8, and so on and so forth. Look, folks, Peter, you won't even find him no more after 15. It's all Paul from here. Why? Because he's the minister to Gentiles. So, I hope that helped. I hope that was a different way of looking at it. Acts chapter number 11, what you're going to find, most of it, probably the first 18 verses. We're going to read over them, not going to comment a whole lot about it, because you're fixing to see from verses 1 through 18 is a recap of everything that happened in chapter 10. Now watch. Verse number 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, these apostles and the brethren that were in Judea, Jews, they heard that these Gentiles had received the word of God. Verse 2, watch. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, all right, let me get my map here. Let me see if I can, I don't know. Yeah, I got my, battery's still working this thing. All right, Caesarea. There's Cornelius' house. Here's Jerusalem down here. So Peter's down here. He goes up to Cornelius' house. They get saved. So Peter, all that kind of stuff, he starts heading back to Jerusalem. Well, them men, verse 1, the prophets, or the apostles, and the brethren, which were in Judea, they done heard, it done got to them. Verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, remember I told you who the circumcision was, that's the Jews, they that were of the circumcision contended with it. In other words, they got in Peter's face. They said, Peter, we heard you've been eating at the Gentiles' house. We done heard you've been at their house, you ate their food, and here we go. So Peter is fixing to say, hey, look, guys, this is what happened. Let me tell you my side of the story. So verse 3, say, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, Gentiles, and didst eat with them. Verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying. So verse 5, he's fixing a recap. I was in the city of Joppa praying, minding my own business. I know it don't say that, but anyway. I was minding my own business. I was praying. I was in a trance. I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending. And it had been a great sheet let down from heaven, four corners. It came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Let me pause and comment. I said I wasn't going to comment much, but I'm going to comment right here. I want you to get the, you say, why in the world? What's the relation between these unclean animals and this sheet, and it's letting down three times, and God says, Peter, don't call them unclean in there. What I've cleansed, don't you call unclean. You remember what the Jews called the Gentiles? They called them dogs. A Gentile dog. An unclean animal. Well, except for my dog. But anyway, they always called them a dog, Gentile dog. God is saying, these Gentiles, these unclean animals in this sheet, what I've cleansed, don't you call unclean. I cleansed them. And it happened three times. Now watch. Here's the relation. It happened three times. Well, while that's happening three times, look at verse 11. And behold, immediately there were three men. These three men that were on their way to Peter's house was Gentiles. Sheep unclean animals. Three times God says, what I've cleansed, call not thou unclean or common. At that time, three men come seeking Peter. Three. Okay, Gentiles. Here we go. Verse 12. And the Spirit bade me to go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, Cornelius' house. And he showed us how that he'd seen an angel in his house, which stood, said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Peter's rehearsing all this stuff. Verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. I was preaching to them Gentiles in their house, didn't want to be there to begin with, had this vision of animals, which I've never eaten before. Then you got these three Gentiles coming, knocking on my door, waking me up from my trance, telling me to go down here and go to a Gentile's house. I go and I preach. I didn't want to be there. But then when I got there, the Holy Ghost came on them like he did on us in Acts 2. And I'm sitting there scratching my head. Now that's all in there. You just sort of got to read it that way. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? All right, let me pause before I read verse 18. Peter's trying to convince these Jews. They're going, Peter, what? We heard somebody at Walmart told us that you were down there at Cornelius' house eating and stuff and preaching and all this kind of stuff. Look, you know that ain't right. And so Peter tells the whole story, and he said, God told me to go. What y'all want me to do? I mean, I'm in a trance and all this animals and three men and here. God, it was all God. It wasn't my fault. I didn't want to be there. He's trying to convince them. They know. Now, here's something I want to show you real quick. Notice verse number 16. Then remembered I, Peter says, I remember the word of the Lord, how that he said. Now he's quoting Matthew 3. If I should read it. John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. And I'm glad this come up because I've seen here of late, different ones on Facebook, people that I know and should know better. Let me show you this before I get into comment. Matthew 3, this is what Peter was referring to, Matthew 3. John, indeed baptize you with water under repentance. But he that cometh after me, that's Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what did Peter leave out when he was telling it in Acts 11, verse 16, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, period. He's quoting John. He's quoting John the Baptist, Matthew 3. Let me read it to you again. He shall baptize you, and in Matthew, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When Peter says what John said, but John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, period. What did he leave out? Now, I'm fixing to try to prove a point, and I hope it comes over. I have heard, and just aggravates me that people can't read any better. I've heard, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I mean, get the fire of God. And here they go. Now, Matthew 3, he's going to baptize you. Jesus, when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right, the next verse in Matthew tells what the fire is. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That is bad. You don't want the baptism of fire. Do you know why Peter left out the baptism of fire in Acts chapter number 11? He only mentioned the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because these people are saved. The reason he left the baptism of fire out is because the baptism of fire is for lost people. Does everybody see that? Now, I understand where they get it from. They get it from, number one, not rightly dividing. Number two, just mixing and just mashing verses together don't go. Matter of fact, they'll quote over there in Jeremiah. Remember over in Jeremiah, it says, Jeremiah, when he was preaching the word, he said the word was shut up in my bones. It's like a fire shut up in my bones, you know. And they'll go to that. And then they'll go to Acts. Remember over there in Acts chapter number two, they'll go to this one. And there appeared unto them cloven, we're over here, Acts 2. And there appeared unto them, the Jews, cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set on each one of them. There was no fire. There was no fire that came down in Acts 2. It was like as fire, see? So what they do, they compare Matthew 3, baptism of fire, Acts 2, with cloven tongues like as a fire. Boy, look at that. You've got to get the baptism of fire. If you ain't got the baptism of fire, you ain't got it, you know. Look, when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, Jesus Christ baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. If you don't receive Him and you die without Him, He will baptize you with fire and you don't want it. So, I understand. People say, you need to be on fire for God. I'm for that. I think you ought to be on fire for God. I think the word ought to be like a fire shut up in your bone, da 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 da. But that ain't a baptism of fire. Acts 2 is not a baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is something you don't want. Get on fire for God. I'm for it. I want you to be on fire for God. But I don't want you to be baptized with fire. Because if that happens, verse 12 of Matthew 3 says it's going to be burn up the chaff like unquenchable fire. That's not good. Okay? Now, I wanted to point to that. And to prove that point, Peter in Acts 11, when he says he's quoting John from Matthew 3, and he leaves out the baptism of fire because he's talking about saved people. He only mentions the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I hope that helps somebody. And I know most of y'all know that. But you'd be surprised. And that's just another verse that... back to Acts 11, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the light gift, as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? I could withstand God. Listen, guys, it wasn't my fault. It was God's fault. He told me to go. Verse 18. When they heard these things, when these guys from Jerusalem heard these things, they held their peace. They said, okay, Peter, we believe your story. We hold our peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, let me pause and say something about this verse. Because this verse right here has been twisted. And now, some of you may not know what Calvinism is. It's a doctrine from John Calvin. And what it says is that before the foundation of the world, God had already picked who He wanted to be saved. He's got this group over here saved, this group over here lost. You can't do nothing about it. You didn't have a choice to get saved. You were saved or lost before you were born. God's already chosen all of that, and you didn't have a choice in the matter. And they'll go to run the verse like that. Look, oh boy, look here. God also to the Gentiles granted repentance. And if God don't grant repentance to you, you're dead in trespasses and sin, and you can't raise yourself up unless God grants you repentance out of the die. Blow that out your nose. The context, Acts 11. We're talking about Jews, Gentiles, right? We're talking about nations, not individuals. So, according to Romans chapter 11, the Gentile nations were grafted in, In other words, you say, okay, what's this verse mean? Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Well, before the cross, Jesus said, the salvation is of the Jews. After the cross, God has granted that the Gentiles, stay in your seat. When I stay in your seat, do not grab a songbook and throw it right here. But when you come on this side of the cross, God hath granted repentance unto life that the Gentiles can get in on this thing as a nation, not as individuals. Another case in point, Romans 9, our Calvinist friends, they love this one. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. See, Jacob, God loves, and all of those from Jacob are saved, and all the ones from Esau, I hate, they're lost and going to hell. Look at that. Romans 9 has nothing to do at all with an individual, has to do with nation. Jacob, the nations of Israel, Jacob, Esau, Edomites. A lot of the Muslim nations, Edomites. Israel has I loved. Those nations, Edomites and all those, have I hated. Not individuals, nations. Those are differences. That's differences I wish people could see. Now, I hope that explains that. I could do better, but I don't have time right now. Look at verse 19. Let's go to 19. Now they which were scattered abroad among the persecution that arose about Stephen. Now, what he's referring to here, you remember in chapter 7, when Stephen in Jerusalem was stoned, people started scattering. Paul, all of his little buddies, stoned Stephen for preaching Jesus is the Messiah, whatever. And so they're watching Stephen get stoned and da-da-da-da. So they scatter. So that's what we're talking about. Now they which were scattered abroad among the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now let's keep reading. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, Gentiles, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 19, they go to Jews. Verse 20, they go to Gentiles. You say, Jews in 19, Gentiles in 20. Okay, let me show you. Let me remind you of a verse. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the who first? Jew first, that's verse 19, and also to the Greek, that's verse 20. Jew first and to the Greek. Jew first to the Greek. See that? I'll give you another one. Y'all remember, let me get a different color. St. John. John chapter 3, Jesus went to a man by the name of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In John 4, next chapter, he goes to the Samaritan woman at the well, which was half Jew, half Gentile in the same body. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. I'm going to say it again for some that might have missed it. In John 3, Jesus goes to verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night, so on and so forth. In John 4, next chapter, he goes to the Samaritan woman, which is half Jew, half Gentile, in one body. To the Jew first, John 3, and it's Samaritan, Jew and Gentile, hallelujah. What I'm just trying to tell y'all is, y'all got in on this thing and got grafted in. Amen. Aren't you glad salvation is not just of the Jews? It come to us too. Anyway. Okay. Now, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings, good news, tidings of these things came unto, watch this. The Bible always helps us in our definitions. Notice, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Well, we're building a new sanctuary out here. Did y'all notice any ears that Roger has put on the outside of that building so it could hear? So it's not talking about a building. What has ears? A church that has ears, you see. What's the church? Not a building. This is just where we meet. You know, sometimes I say, I'm going down to church. Actually, I'm going down to the church building, and hopefully the church shows up at the building. The church is the people. They're the ones that had ears. Unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, let's see. let me show you. I tell you, let me finish reading this and I'll show you something else. As far as Antioch, verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Notice, when they got saved, they were added unto the Lord. Remember, I've told y'all this. I've showed you this. When people get saved, they get added to the body of Christ. They get added to the Lord. Now, that body is called a church. The church, which is his body, I'll show you how we compare that. Let's see. Here we go. Acts 2 and verse 46. Watch this. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Next verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the what? Church, daily, such as should be saved. Well, Acts 11, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So what's the church in Acts 2? It's the Lord. You see how in one place it uses the word church, the next place it uses the word Lord. The Lord. What is the church? Well, it's not a building. Building don't have ears. We already heard that. The church, which is his body, I get added to that when I got saved. All right. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, let me show you this. I know we got a few more verses. Let me show you this. All right. Here we go. Now, Jerusalem is down here. Those of you who are watching at home, all you can see is this picture on your screen. But down in the bottom sort of right-hand column, or right hand there, you'll see Jerusalem. If you go straight up, you'll see Damascus. And if you keep going, you're going to see the country of Syria. And there's Antioch. Antioch, Syria, right there. That's where we are. That's where we were first called Christians, right there. Now, let me say something. This Antioch right here, Barnabas went down and got Saul. They went and started teaching much people here for a whole year of the church. With all the people that were saved here, they started teaching a bunch of people. And then, my point is, remember Acts 1:8? And you should be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, remember down here where Stephen got stoned? When he got stoned, people scattered. Here they go. Damascus, Judea, Samaria, and then all of a sudden we're in chapter number 11. We done made it up here to Antioch. Now, what I'm going to point out to you is, if you'll go right over here, you see Galatia. That's where the book of Galatians was written to. Derby. Paul goes to Perga. Where is Corinth? It's right around here. Cappadocia. Anyway, Corinth is around here somewhere where we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians and so on and so forth. My point is, starts down here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then this thing, when you get down here to about, when we get to chapter 13, Paul starts his missionary journeys and the gospel goes, where'd my dot go? My battery's running down. The gospel goes to the whole world, the uttermost parts of the earth. Anyway. Oh, hey, here we go. See that in better, can't you? There's Ephesus. Ephesians. There's Corinth right there. There's Rome. The boot. Rome. Romans. There's Corinthians. There's Thessalonians. There's Philippians. Ephesians. Colossians. Galatians. Paul starts right here where they were first called Christians. And he starts running this whole, this whole map and starts starting churches, getting people saved. That's where a 30-year New Testament come from. Hallelujah. Maybe that helped. I don't know. All right. Now, let's finish up the last few verses of this. Verse 27. Oh, let me pause and say something about this Christian thing. The word Christian, let me say something about the word Christian. The word Christian means Christ-like, okay? Now, I know some saved people that have Jesus living in their heart, but they don't always act Christian, okay? Got it? Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like or little Christs. Now, these people at Antioch did not call, they didn't put us, get them t-shirts and say, and have Christians on the front of it and on the back. The non-believers is the ones that called them Christians. They said, they act different. They're Christians. And we got labeled Christian, Christ-like. Okay, here's my point. Some of you are going, okay, what's the point? When I go out into the world, I shouldn't have to have a blinking sign that says, hey, I want Dyersburg to know I'm a Christian. They should be able to already tell that without me having to say it, without me having to wear a t-shirt or if you got a cross necklace, that's totally fine. I'm not against that. I'm just saying people say, well, they must be a Christian. You got a cross necklace. How do they act? I know a bunch of devils going around with a cross necklace around their neck. You know. Anyway, notice they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were called Christians by somebody else. All right, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth. A dearth is a famine of some kind throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, here we have something. Let me see, where's my verses? Did I put them on? I may not have. I may not put them on here for you. But what they did, let me see what Romans 15 says. I got Romans 15 out in the margin of my Bible for some reason, so let's see if it has any connection whatsoever. Okay, here we go. Paul is going to tell us what they were doing in Acts 11. Romans 15, verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And it pleased them verily, and so on and so forth. So what happened? These people from Jerusalem came up, and there was, it was a famine, some kind of dearth in the land there. And so what they came up to the church, the people in Antioch. This is where we get this idea. People say, well, you take up offerings and all this kind of stuff. Well, this is where the idea comes from. And they took up an offering there in Antioch, and they sent it down to Jerusalem to help. What do? Yes, we take up offerings, and it helps pay the lights and the construction and all that kind of stuff. But we also use that money to send to where Brother Andy Davis and Mark Davis and Transitions and whether it be local ministries or whether it be Damascus, a local ministry, whether it be Africa or Asia, wherever it's at, that is taken, that the church is supposed to be a funnel. It goes through here, and we go and try to send the gospel to other places. And yes, you know, that's where that comes from. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, and now concerning the collection of the saints, as the order I've given unto you, the church of Galatia, even so do ye on the first day of the week. Something like that. First day of the week, let every man lay by him in store. Now, I could get into, what time is it, 7:09? Let me throw this out right quick, just give you something to think about, okay? Did y'all know? I wonder if I should say this. Sharon may get on to me because she's a treasure now. Did y'all know you won't find tithing in the New Testament? Some of you, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, that's good. You mean I don't even have to give this Sunday. Oh, it's worse than that. Tithe. The word tithe means tenth. So before the cross, 10% was given. Okay? Watch this. It's going to get worse. Y'all thought you're getting out of giving. Before the cross, under law, 10%. On this side of the cross. Now, okay. Why did I open this door? Under the law, 10% mandatory. 10%. If you had 10 cows, give one to the church. 10 chickens, 10%. Whatever. Monetary, whatever. This side of the cross under grace, nothing's mandatory. God says, as I've blessed you, even so give ye. So if 10% is good under law, how much should we give under grace? And the crickets. You ever thought it's odd we give 10% to the Lord, but we go to the restaurant and give 15% to the waitress that didn't die for us? Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. As the Lord has blessed you, even so. It's not mandatory. Hey, there's liberty under grace. God says, I made it mandatory they give 10% under the law, but I will open the door. I'm not even going to limit y'all to 10% under grace. I'm going to leave the door open, and as I blessed you, you can't outgive God. I need to preach this on Sunday morning, don't I? Just something to think about. Now, when I first said that, I know people might watch it. They go, oh, Brother Jeremy, don't believe in tithing. Well, I believe it's worse than that. I believe you give more. Okay. Now, where was I? Oh, I want to show you one other thing before we close and take some prayer requests. Here's something I want to show you, and this almost goes to Cecil's question. We're almost going to get to it, and I promise I'm going to build on it as we go. Notice verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Notice these elders. Now, here's a good, I'm pointing this out because it's a good way to study the Bible. We look at the word elders there and we think, okay, well, we got the church started, and so these elders, these must be elders of the church. Okay, we have to watch this. Watch this verse. Acts 14:23. 14's after 11, right? Not a trick question. 14 is after 11. All right. Look, 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord, and so on and so forth. Y'all see that? They ordained elders to every church in 14. So who are these elders in 11? We didn't ordain elders until 14. Remember this. Jews had elders as well as the nation. It was a hierarchy system. They had the chief priest, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the elders of Israel. Watch. I'll prove my point. Acts 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, see that? Elders and scribes. All right. Look at verse 8, Acts 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You see. So before, even elder, even the, you know, when you look at the word elder, you have to study the word out and make sure you know, are we talking about elders of Israel or elders of the church? So, and I want to point that out because that's, you said, how do you know them ain't elders of church? Because we don't ordain elders of church till 14. So these elders of 11, they come up from Jerusalem, Jews, Jewish, so they had to be elders of Israel, you see. Let's see if I got another one. Let's see if, now if you don't like Peter, let's see if you like Jesus. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Anyway, does that? Elders in the Jewish realm, like I said, it was you had chief priests, and I may get them out of order, scribes, Pharisees, you had the chief priest, and elders. It was like a ranking system, you know, in the Jewish religion. All right. Oh, I did find Romans 15. I did have it on the board for you. Look at there. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it's pleased the Macedonian to pay a certain contribution to poor saints which are at Jerusalem. I just didn't look far enough. All right. That takes care of Acts chapter number 11.